picture a pastor study late at night. The sermon's done, emails are answered, the building's locked up, and there he sits, successful by every visible measure. People are being reached, the budget's healthy, the platform's growing. And yet, if you asked him the one question that actually matters, is your relationship with Jesus still growing, or did it quietly stop years ago while your ministry kept climbing? He might not have an honest answer. And that's not a hypothetical. That's most of us at some point. Here's the uncomfortable truth we're sitting with today. Ministry can be one of the most spiritually dangerous professions there is. Not because the work is bad, because it's not. It's entirely possible, however, to serve God publicly while quietly drifting from Him privately. You can be busy for Jesus without abiding in Jesus. And nobody in the room can tell the difference just by watching you lead. Today, we're talking about the spiritual center, the hidden root system that either sustains a leader's fruit for the long haul or eventually lets it wither. And it's all right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast.
Welcome back to the Five Gifts Podcast. This is Season 3, Episode 28. I'm Charles Russell, and this is my co-host, Bruce Ritter. Bruce, how are you today?
I'm doing well. I'm going to speak in faith that I'm doing well since we're recording this prior to my daughter's wedding. As this episode airs, it'll be right after the wedding, a couple of days. And so probably just taking a break somewhere in real time. But we're glad to be with you and glad that you can join us. Charles, I hope you've had a great weekend. I appreciate you preaching for me yesterday.
Well, absolutely. Now, I know we're recording this prior to, but man, let me tell you, it's the best message I've ever preached in my entire life. By faith, I'm declaring and prophesying. So yeah, thanks for the opportunity. It's always great to be able to be with folks at Christian Life Assembly.
Yeah. Hey, listen, if you're new to us, you know, this show exists because Ephesians 4 tells us that Christ has given the church five kinds of gifted leaders, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people and build up his body. And so we like to look at what it means to steward those gifts well. But today's episode rather, isn't sorted by a specific gift. It's actually something that runs underneath all five of the gifts, because whether you're an apostolic initiator starting something new, a prophetic voice calling people back to truth, back to the presence of God. Maybe the evangelist that's chasing people far from God, or a pastor carrying the wounded, connecting people in healthy relationship, or the teacher who's unpacking the word for transformative learning experiences. All those gifts, all those leaders can share one identical vulnerability. You can lose your walk with God while never missing a service. So today we're asking, what actually keeps a leader's soul alive underneath the ministry? Not what keeps the ministry alive, but what keeps you alive?
Well, let's start with something a little bit convicting, right? Because I think it names things a lot of us feel, but probably rarely say out loud. There's an old observation about the religious leaders of Jesus' day, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the zealots. Each group in its own way distorted true religion. One externalized it into performance. One turned it into a profession. One secularized it. One weaponized it politically. And here's a sobering part. Public ministry today can do the exact same thing to any of us, regardless of which of the five gifts we carry. It can externalize us, it can professionalize us, it can delusion us, and it can politicize us. Eugene Peterson, he said something once that that I think about a lot, and it's this. Religion can actually be one of the best hiding places for sin. Pride, anger, lust, greed, they don't disappear just because you work in ministry. Sometimes they just learn to dress better. So let's walk through four counterfeit patterns. Leadership expert Tim Elmore has identified. Let me back up and start that line over too. So let me walk you through four counterfeit patterns. Leadership expert Tim Elmore has identified four ways a leader can look spiritually healthy on the outside while running on empty underneath. See if any of these land on you. All right. Number one, there's the starving baker. This is talking about being so busy handing out spiritual bread to everyone else that you never take time to actually eat for yourself. You feed a congregation, a team, a family, but at the same time, you starve. Number two is the superficial celebrity. You keep everyone at arm's length, including God, because closeness feels risky. If people got close enough, they might just see the cracks. And so might God if you let him. Number three is the polished performer. You've gotten so good at the show of ministry that you've quietly lost the ability to be real with God at all. Performance has become the personality. Number four is the spiritual professional. Your relationship with God has just become a job function, a 9-to-5, a Sunday-only transaction. You try to switch it on when the platform lights come up. So here's my question for you, and I want you to actually sit with this instead of rushing past it. Which one of these four hits closest to home right now? Not 5 years ago, but right now, today, in this moment. Which of these four truly resonates with you?
Okay, now as painful as it is, hold that thought, because the rest of this episode is really about the antidote. Let's talk about what it means to be broken before God. There are some postures that guard a leader's spiritual center, no matter which of the five gifts you carry. And the first one is one that nobody signs up for, and that's brokenness. Every instinct in us resists brokenness. We want strength. We want competence. We want to be the leader that people can lean on, not the leader who's coming apart. But Scripture is stubborn on this point. A broken and a contrite heart is still the doorway into real intimacy with Christ. James chapter 4 says that the person who shows humility is the one that receives more grace. Spiritual disciplines by themselves, even good ones, can leave us shallow if we never actually have been brought to the end of ourselves. There's a well-known account from the Azusa Street Revival where an eyewitness described what happened inside that plain, unimpressive building. There were strong men and women who were taken apart by God and put back together for his glory. And that's where pride, self-importance, self-assertion, none of it could survive in the room. I love that. That's a true indicator that the Spirit of God is not just given place to empower us, but really given place to change us. And that's uncomfortable to hear, but it's also historically the room where real spiritual movements are born. A.W. Tozer put it bluntly. He doubted whether God could bless a person until he had first hurt them deeply. I don't love that sentence, but I think it's true. And here's why this matters so much. Remember that Jesus said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Notice there's a period at the end of the sentence. Not "apart from me, you can do nothing" unless you find the right team, the right platform, the right strategy. Nothing. You can do nothing without Christ. It's a full stop. When Jesus took the loaves and the fish, he didn't just bless them. He broke them. And that's when multiplication happened. And if we want our lives and our leadership multiplied, we may need to let God do some breaking in us first. Self-sufficiency, self-will, self-interest, these things don't retire quietly. They have to be broken. And that's a fascinating pattern. Researchers of great spiritual leaders, people like Hudson Taylor, George Mueller, Amy Carmichael, it's visible in their lives. On average, it took these deeply fruitful leaders around 15 years to move from working for Christ to Christ working through them. 15 years. That's not a season. That's a whole era of personal formation. And I think of the leaders who trace the most fruitful seasons back to the most desperate ones. A small, struggling group that seemed to be dying. A season of intense hunger and groaning and prayer that didn't look like anything was happening until suddenly overnight it did. A breakthrough like that rarely arrives on schedule, but they almost always arrive after brokenness, not instead of it.
Yeah, so look, if you're in a hard season right now, maybe you feel like your ministry feels smaller than it used to, or if you feel like your first attempts have failed, look, don't rush past this, all right? That might not be a detour. What it could be the pathway. And so the second posture we're going to talk about is abiding. In other words, staying attached like a branch to a vine. Jesus said if we remain in him and his words remain in us, then you know we can ask what we wish and it will be done. That's the deal. But the deal starts with staying connected. Brokenness tends to come in seasons, but abiding is meant to be constant. This is a vitality that runs underneath every season, good or hard. And it's a two-way relationship. His words live in us, and we live in him. So let's talk about two practical expressions of abiding, scripture and prayer. On scripture, I love a story about a children's evangelist who later in life started devouring dozens of chapters of scripture a day. He hadn't changed anything about how he did ministry. It was the same song, same illustration, same simple approach, but he said something like this. Since he started absorbing that much of God's word regularly, he began sensing God move in his services in ways he had never experienced before. You see, the word and spirit, they work together. The word is described as a sword, and it's the spirit who wields that sword. If scripture isn't going deep into us, we shouldn't be surprised when we don't sense the spirit moving through us. So practically, three simple ways to engage scripture. Number one, reading, not speed reading, 40 chapters necessarily, but some kind of consistent plan that keeps you moving through the whole counsel of God, not just, through your favorite verses. Second would be meditating, slowing down on one verse, sitting with it, turning it over, letting it work on you and in you rather than just moving on to the next task. And finally, listening. Reading the word is one thing, but letting the word read you, now that's entirely different. So staying open to where a passage might be naming something in your life that you possibly haven't noticed yet.
Good wisdom there, Charles. I would say when it comes to prayer, which is the second place we abide, Jesus taught something interesting in Matthew 6. If you remember, he said, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father in secret. I love corporate prayer. I love the energy of corporate prayer. It matters enormously to help move the church forward. There is real power when people agree together, but there's something about the secret place that seems to carry its own kind of reward. I'd go so far as to say that what happens in your private life is what puts the fragrance on your public ministry. You can't fake that fragrance. People can tell whether or not you've been with Jesus. And a few honest words about how to actually do this, since most of us carry some guilt here. First of all, pray with a yieldedness. Don't just run through a list. Let prayer be an actual encounter with God, not just a transaction. Number two, and I think this is important, pray with scripture. When your words run dry, and they will, let God's word become your words. Find the prayers that Jesus is praying over your life. Find the activity of God by aligning the word of God with your prayer time. And then lastly, pray in faith. It's shockingly easy for prayers to turn into rehearsed worry instead of actual faith. Faith doesn't ignore hard circumstances. It just refuses to let them have the final say. So here's a third posture that we can talk about today. That's simply living in fellowship with the Spirit. And I think it might be one of the most that leaders skip entirely because it doesn't feel like a discipline. It feels too simple. It feels too spontaneous. But fellowship with the Spirit, that's not an hour with God. That's not 24 hours. It's 24 hours with God. It's walking with Him through an ordinary Tuesday or a nondescript Thursday, not just a Sunday morning. And here's a pro tip. Make that a day of fasting. It's really easy to reduce our spiritual life to do a checklist of the things that we do and don't do, but underneath the checklist is supposed to be an actual relationship. That's the kind that the Apostle Paul describes when he prays that the grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit would be with us. I think there's a couple of habits that help us build this. Number one, stay intentionally grateful. Boy, gratitude is a missing virtue in our conversation. So stay intentionally grateful. God blesses and welcomes us when we come with a grateful heart. And then praying in the Spirit throughout the day. Gratitude keeps our eyes on what God is already doing around us instead of only on what's broken. And that quiet, ongoing conversation with the Spirit, praying in the gift of spiritual language, even in fragments, even in the car, even between meetings, is what helps keep ministry from becoming purely mechanical.
Yeah, I mean, ministry leadership doesn't have to be toxic to your spiritual health, but it will be almost automatically if you don't fight for these three things we've been talking about on purpose: brokenness, abiding, and in fellowship. Bruce, before we kind of move on to the next segment, I've just got to say, man, you've last few weeks you've given us some absolute gems. A few weeks ago, you talked to us about the goose is loose, and I just can't shake it. Today, you're hitting us with you can't fake the fragrance, and so man, I'm fired up over here. I'm just getting all kinds of ideas for some Five Gifts podcast merch. The goose is loose, and you can't fake the fragrance, man. We ought to be all over those. So anyway, kudos to you for the creativity and the inspiration in your teaching. That was great. All right. Well, I've totally ruined the flow of the episode, but that's all right. We'll get back into it. Let's try to kind of land some of this content across. Across fivefold gifts.
I want everybody to make sure they come stop by the Fragrance of Christ counter so you can get your free sample.
is that what we're doing now?
Oh my.
Well, that's my spiritual gift. I just disrupt things. So I've done it again. All right. So let's try to get back into it. Look, as we try to look at this through a fivefold ministry lens, if you're apostolic, you're probably wired to build, to pioneer, to launch. Your risk is that momentum becomes your identity. And you stop abiding the moment the mission starts moving. If you're prophetic, you're probably wired to see clearly and speak boldly. And so your risk is going to be that unresolved anger or ungrieved pain starts leaking out from behind the pulpit, and instead of getting dealt with in secret with God first. If you're evangelistic, I would imagine you're wired for reach, for the next person, maybe the next crowd. So your risk is that superficial celebrity pattern we talked about. You know, maybe a thousand shallow connections and almost no deep ones, including with God. If you're pastoral, probably wired to carry people. And so your risk is probably that starving baker concept. You're feeding everyone else's soul while your own goes hungry and no one notices, including you, until it's too late. And finally, if you're teaching gifted, you're probably wired to study, to explain, And so your risk could be that knowledge about God quietly substitutes for actual intimacy with God. You can explain a verse brilliantly, but never once let it read you. So different gifts, same vulnerability, same three-part remedy. Let God break what needs breaking. Stay attached to Him in word and prayer, and then walk with His Spirit all day, not just on stage.
Maybe we could take a moment or two just to explore some practical examples how to keep within gifted ministry, whether you're more apostolic or evangelistic or in whatever frame of giftedness that you find your specific anointing in ministry. But let's talk about that for a minute. Let's say you're an apostolic leader. What are some safeguards to keeping your keeping momentum from becoming your identity? How do you keep abiding with Christ as an apostolic leader?
Well, one thing that has really helped me to safeguard that, like you're talking about, has really been mutual submission or accountability. So be that my wife or maybe another couple trusted and close kind of advisors or friends or relationships that just have permission to say, "Hey, Charles, how's private devotions? What's the Lord been speaking to you this week?" That's really helped me kind of stay grounded because, man, I'm telling you, I look for the opportunity, and I'm just kind of wired to do that. I like to build, momentum is there is an addiction there can be to momentum, and when you feel the traction, when you feel the wheels stop spinning and find you're gaining some traction and moving forward, that can be life, and that can just be overwhelming, overpowering, all consuming in someone like in my life. And so that personal accountability, mutual submission has really helped you. It can be frustrating as well, because you have to admit, okay, I'm wrong. I've got the cart before the horse here, but it is, but it's life saving. It is a safeguard. It's a boundary that, or a guardrail that I can't live without. So my wife, who your sister, she's very pastoral, and she's very prophetic. And so when she calls me out, I don't like it, but I have to submit to that. I have to submit to her because I've chosen to be accountable to her in that regard. That mm-hmm. she has permission to speak into my life and to call me out where I need to be called out. And it's anyway. I feel like I'm kind of going down a rabbit hole here, but. Just to say, being mutually submitted, being accountable to someone else who has permission to just say what needs to be said, that's really been a lifesaver for me in the ministry and in leadership.
Yeah, definitely. You know, if I was answering that same question, probably with regard to any of the gifts, I would say that it's important to stay grounded and be intentional about those spiritual disciplines. I think one of the missed practices is being intentional about humility. And what I mean is to practice things like regular confession in God's presence, to always be doing what 1 Corinthians 11 says when it comes to communion with the Lord, and that's examining ourselves and to keep that the old Puritans, they would say that repentance came with the gift of tears, And I would say that it's important to practice. We talked about brokenness earlier. I think it's important that you, as that kind of a leader, that you always keep a sense of yourself at your worst, and to remember that that's part of you that Christ is still redeeming and working through. And yeah, I think those are some good words we can leave with our listeners. I think this is where we want to leave you with today. Not really a to-do list, but maybe a single honest question, the same one we opened with, that if your ministry disappeared tomorrow, where there's no platform, no title, no audience, would your relationship with Jesus still be growing? If you didn't have to prepare a message tomorrow, would you still be finding the actionable parts of God's word in your own life? And if the answer that you say is no, I don't think my relationship with Jesus is where it is. It's not healthy. It's probably not growing. Listen, that's not a disqualification. Let that be an invitation. Let this be a moment of merciful discernment where the Holy Spirit is giving you the invitation to press in, make some changes. Remember, the leaders that history remembers most fruitfully are almost always the ones who let themselves be broken. So stay abiding when nobody's watching, and keep walking in the Spirit in those ordinary, unrecorded hours of your life. Remember, health breeds health. And I think over the last 2 weeks, we've talked in depth about how important it is that you strive for personal health in your relationship with Christ. And health is what breeds health in your congregation and the people that you lead. It's not your performance. It's not your busyness. Health is what breeds health.
Well, that's it for episode 28. That's a wrap, right? Episode 28 of the Five Gifts podcast. If this episode has stirred something in you, maybe it's named a pattern that you've been living in longer than you'd like to admit. But I don't want you to just sit there with that alone. This is exactly the kind of thing that's hard to work through by yourself. And honestly, it's hard to even see clearly in yourself. And that's what coaching is for. If you're a leader who's ready to take an honest look at your own spiritual center and build the kind of sustainability that sustainable, healthy leadership that actually lasts, I'd encourage you, take the next step. And you can find out more about leadership coaching at charlesrussellministries.com. You can explore training resources at charlesrusselltraining.com, or connect directly with a coach at coachingcardia.com. You don't have to figure this out alone, and you weren't meant to lead alone either. So we'd love to journey together with you, and coaching is a wonderful vehicle to do that. So Bruce or myself, man, we'd be honored to partner with you in your journey. Well, hey, and again, if you're finding this content helpful and beneficial, like, follow, subscribe, share, all the things. Hit all the buttons. Hit every button you can find, whether you know what it means or not. Just smash, smash, smash. Hit all the buttons. Help us get the word out. We're so grateful and thankful that you joined us on the Five Gifts podcast. We'd love for your associates and relationships to be a part of the journey with us here. Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget, don't fake the fragrance. And we'll see you next week right here on the Five Gifts podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.